Hey, everybody. It is Tuesday, March 12th. You're listening to the Mo News Podcast. I'm Moshe Wanunu.
And I'm Jill Wagner. This is the place where we bring you just the facts.
And we read all the news and read between the lines so you don't have to. Jill, it is Equal Pay Day today on this March 12th.
That's right. It is basically a symbolic day meant to raise awareness about pay inequity. So Equal Pay Day 2024 marks the current state of the gender pay gap for women. It's about 84% for full-time year-round workers and 78% for all workers. So this is the day that women would catch up to what a man made for all of 2023.
Right. Playing catch up there. We've been talking about the gender pay gap in a number of stories recently, including in South Korea, where it's one of the most significant in the world. And that's why women there in particular are choosing not to have kids because of the professional detriment there. So important that we mark this today, and wanted to make a point of it at the top of the pod.
All right, now time for the headlines. The latest on the fast moves by Congress to ban TikTok. We'll go to Africa for the latest in the search for several hundred children kidnapped in Nigeria last week. President Biden proposes a budget with a number of tax increases on the rich and corporations. We'll talk about the reality of any of these measures actually passing.
Wah, wah. It's Congress.
Some new survey data on how smartphones make teens feel and what they're saying about how their parents use their devices. With a month till tax filing deadline, some good news and bad news for when it comes to refunds so far. A once ubiquitous mall store is officially bankrupt. And the latest in Photogate, Princess Kate is apologizing, sort of, for the photoshopped picture that she put out over the weekend.
Jill, I have to say, by leaps and bounds, despite the fact that I've gotten notes from a number of people saying, why is this news? It was the most clicked on story in the newsletter yesterday. Just FYI, folks.
And Moshe has on this day in history.
Jill, a little Cat in the Hat, a little Bernie Madoff, and a little Les Mis for you on this Tuesday.
Okay, let's begin with the latest on the TikTok ban. The U.S. House is looking to vote on a bill that could ban TikTok as early as tomorrow. This bill would force China-based ByteDance to sell TikTok or face a ban on U.S. app stores by September 30th. According to lawmakers, this bill is meant to protect national security, but TikTok says that the ban would be an attack on free speech. TikTok is based in Singapore and calls the bill a de facto ban. It says it's dumped $1.5 billion into efforts to secure U.S. user data from the Chinese government as a way to appease its critics. Still, intelligence and national security officials believe that it is a major threat. The FBI has repeatedly warned that the Chinese government, through its alleged relationship with ByteDance, may be able to control software on millions of devices in the United States or could conduct influence operations on TikTok. The concern stems from the fact that the Chinese Communist Party, or the CCP, holds massive sway over private corporations in China and in the past has punished executives and companies for not towing the party line. Chinese law also requires companies to store data and grants the government wide-ranging rights to check such data. Former ByteDance officials have said that the CCP has access to the company's data, including data stored in the United States.
So it appears that Congress is pretty united right now. A whole group of Democrats, a whole group of Republicans, they're actually trying to expedite this in the House, and they're using a special procedure, a special rule to get this to the floor, as you mentioned, Jill, as soon as tomorrow, that will require two-thirds majority of the U.S. House. So more than just the 50% plus one that you normally see in the U.S. House. So it bears close watching here. One of the big questions we're all asking is, how much impact does Donald Trump's reversal on this have on Republican members of Congress? Remember, Trump used to be a TikTok hawk. Back in 2019, 2020, he was calling for a ban. He ended up issuing an executive order that prohibited any transactions between U.S. citizens and TikTok's parent company, ByteDance, effectively banning the app. It was eventually halted by the courts. Now, just about 4 years later, after being a major proponent of a ban, he says, I'm feeling a little differently right now. It is an election year. The young people, they like the TikTok. He was asked about this flip-flop during a phone call with CNBC's Squawk Box. You're going to hear a question here from Andrew Ross Sorkin of CNBC.
Frankly, there are a lot of people on TikTok that love it. There are a lot of young kids on TikTok who will go crazy without it. There are a lot of users, there's, you know, a lot of good and there's a lot of bad with TikTok. But the thing I don't like is that without TikTok, you can make Facebook bigger. And I consider Facebook to be an enemy of the people, along with a lot of the media.
But do you believe that TikTok is a national security threat or not? Because if it is, and I believe that the emergency powers order that you had put in place at the time suggested that it was. Was that not true?
I do believe that. I do believe it. And we have to very much go into privacy and make sure that we are protecting the American people's privacy and data rights. And I agree. But, you know, we also have that problem with other. You have that problem with Facebook and lots of other companies, too.
So he's sort of all over the place there, saying, you know, people like it. It's still a threat. I guess you could ban it, but I don't support a ban because it's going to help Meta. And Meta, which owns Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, is the real problem here. So the opposition is really interesting because Republicans have overwhelmingly been in support here of a ban on TikTok, taking their lead from who else? Trump, more than 4 years ago. So he's put out this message in the last couple of days. You already saw Senator Lindsey Graham, a Republican very close to Trump, who used to defend Trump's ban of TikTok, now saying he's feeling conflicted about this when this gets to the Senate. And that's where we're not quite sure what the prospects are for the bill. The Senate's going to require 60 votes to pass a filibuster-proof majority there. Senator Chuck Schumer, the Democrat, the majority leader, hasn't committed yet to bring it up in the U.S. Senate, though it does have a lot of fans there. So you can imagine it will get brought up. The question is, where does the vote stand? So far, at least in that committee, the House committee that voted on it last week, it was unanimous, 50-0. Republicans, Democrats in lockstep. That was before Trump came out in opposition. So we're going to watch what happens on the main House floor this week, how this impacts or doesn't impact fellow Republicans. And then, of course, as we go over this, how a bill becomes a law, it passes the House, then it has to pass the Senate, and then it would go to President Biden. So this would just be step one of the three-step process. The Senate's the big question mark because President Biden said if he gets a bill, he will pass it.
Look, we saw Trump kill the bipartisan border deal, that bipartisan budget deal. So we shall see.
Yeah. It is interesting because it is an election year and Trump sees an opportunity here among younger voters who he sees as disenchanted with President Biden. So Trump has been very careful here with younger voters. He hasn't been very outspoken on Israel and Gaza for months, very reluctantly bringing it up. Now, he did say last week that Israel needs to finish the job, very supportive of Israel, but he has not been overt and open because, again, he sees younger voters disenchanted with Biden on the issue. So he's not making a point of it. Same thing here with TikTok. You know, even though he may support this, in fact, he invented the TikTok ban, he sees, oh, well, if I don't support the TikTok ban, I might be able to bring some of these younger voters over to my side in an election year. So a lot of election year politics at play here.
All right, now to a story that we are watching out of Africa. Nigerian security forces continued to search forests and set up roadblocks in the northwestern part of the country, all in an attempt to find about 300 school children who were kidnapped last week. More than 280 children between the ages of 7 and 18 were taken from a school in Karuga in the central part of the country on Thursday. Another 15 children were taken in another raid on a school in Sokoto in the northwestern part of the country on Saturday. The abductions were the latest in a series of group kidnappings by gunmen, where criminal gangs target schools, colleges, and highways as they hunt for large groups of victims to make ransom demands. No group has claimed responsibility for the two school abductions. Just under 30 of the kids taken have been able to escape, telling harrowing stories of being taken at gunpoint and watching other people shot and killed. Islamic terror groups like the powerful Boko Haram groups are waging an insurgency in the Northeast and are suspected of carrying out at least one of the kidnappings.
Yeah, we should note Boko Haram literally is translated to Western education is sin. And they've been engaged in this activity for a while now. And the Islamic militant groups that have been doing the kidnappings of kids, of women, they've inspired gangs across the country who've adapted some of the same strategies, which is why they're not sure exactly who conducted each of these kidnappings. They just have suspicions right now. The larger of the two kidnappings, Jill, is the largest mass kidnapping by a group that we've seen worldwide since the kidnapping of the 250-plus Israelis by Hamas late last year. Across Nigeria, though, this has been an issue now for a number of years. More than 3,500 people were kidnapped across the country last year. Some of you might remember one of the more famous kidnappings back in April of 2014 that led to the campaign Bring Back Our Girls, hashtag Bring Back Our Girls. That was conducted by Boko Haram. They kidnapped 250 schoolgirls that year. We should note, some of those girls, 10 years later, are still missing. Since then, over the course of the past decade, it's estimated that at least 1,400 other children have been kidnapped, sparking widespread international condemnation. But it is a huge issue in the country. The military believes that some of these kidnapping victims are actually used as human shields by these terror groups to prevent aerial bombardments of the forests where they hide. Nigeria's armed forces are fighting on several fronts, including against armed gangs in the northwest of the country, as well as a long-running Islamic insurgency in the northeast of the country. More than 40,000 people have been killed, 2 million displaced over the course of the past decade. All right, we have a lot more to get to, including today's speed read and on this day in history. But first, a message from a couple of our sponsors. We're going to begin with Good Shop, one of our newest partners here at Mo News. They offer fully customizable boxes of high-quality meat and seafood delivered to your door on your schedule. The products here are vacuum sealed, frozen at peak freshness, so you can stock your freezer and have great meat, great fish ready to go. They offer over 70 high quality cuts, grass-fed ribeyes, prime filet mignon. They have salmon, Pacific cod, scallops, shrimp, a whole variety of options. We've tried the chicken. We've tried the salmon. Both came in great. Also, thanks to my wife's incredible recipes, but the meat and the fish have been great. We should also note that by using Good Shop, they exclusively get their product from American farms and fisheries, so you can support your local family farms and independent ranchers right here in the U.S. The average price per meal of Good Shop starts at just under $4. And what's also great, especially if you're worried about those antibiotics, those hormones, those artificial ingredients, well, don't worry about that in Good Shop. They source meat without any of those, only the good stuff. So right now, there's a great deal for all of you in the Mo News community. Go to goodchop.com/MoNews120. That is goodchop, CHOP.com/MoNews120. Use the code MoNews120 to get $120 off your first four boxes. Again, the code here, MoNews120, over at goodchop.com/MoNews120.
All right, now to one of our longtime sponsors, Athletic Greens. We're always talking about health trends and food trends on this podcast and how hard it is to really get all of your nutrients. Well, one way to get all the important ones is through Athletic Greens AG1 powder. I drink AG1 in the mornings. It is just one scoop with a glass of water. It is easy and quick, and it lets you get on with your day knowing that you've gotten over 75 important ingredients, including tons of vitamins and minerals. It also has pre and probiotics to support digestion and gut health. I've had friends who tell me that they take it in the morning and they look at it like an insurance policy. They have their AG1 and then they feel like they are covered for the day, at least in terms of getting all of their nutritional elements that they need. With your first purchase of AG1, Athletic Greens is giving Mo News listeners a free 1-year supply of their vitamin D and 5 free travel packs of AG1. Just visit drinkag1.com/MoNews to take advantage of this offer. You can get a discounted monthly subscription or try it one time for just a month. Again, that is drinkag1.com/MoNews, MoNews, for this special deal, and really start to take ownership of your health. All right, time now for the speed read from the Associated Press. President Biden proposed a $7.3 trillion budget on Monday for next year. It is packed with tax increases on corporations and high earners, new spending on social programs, and a wide range of efforts to combat high consumer costs like housing and college tuition. The proposal includes only relatively small changes from the budget plan that Biden submitted last year, which went nowhere in Congress. We should note this also has no chance of passing with a split Congress. And of course, it is an election year.
Yeah, we should note this up top. We don't want to waste too much of your time with it, but it's still notable because you've probably seen the headlines out there. Biden proposes this budget. The last time a budget was passed by Congress, Jill, the year was 1997.
What?
No, seriously, they have not passed a budget. They do a hodgepodge of late budget blueprints, temporary spending measures that keep the government running, sprawling appropriations packages that they throw in a whole bunch of stuff into.
The year is 1997. Jill is peaking in high school. Beverly Hills 90210 is the most popular show on TV. Yes. And the president passed a budget.
All that said, Jill, there's still a reason we're bringing you this story. Let's get back to that Biden budget.
So the way to look at this is kind of like a blueprint for the president's priorities and agenda as he seeks re-election. He calls for lawmakers to spend about $100 billion to strengthen border security and deliver aid to Israel and Ukraine. The budget proposes about $5 trillion in new taxes on corporations and the wealthy over a decade. Administration officials say that those increases would be split equally between corporations and the nation's highest earners, and that Americans earning less than $400,000 a year would enjoy tax cuts totaling $750 billion under their plans.
Yeah, what Biden's trying to do here with this budget, which again, will not pass Congress, election year, split Congress, Republicans control the House, etc., is draw a contrast with Trump. He's trying to show, listen, I'm about taxing the really, really rich, the undertaxed corporations, which sometimes pay nothing in taxes, to try to get more money to you, the average American. And in fact, he says, if they would pass this, it would actually reduce the federal deficit by $3 trillion over the next 10 years. So there's two different philosophies here, right? Republicans propose budgets where they don't spend anymore. In fact, they cut spending, sometimes to programs that are very important to Democrats, but they also don't increase taxes on anybody. There's two ways for the government to balance the budget, right? They can either spend less or they can tax more and bring in more money. Democrats tend to side on the latter, which is tax more, especially among a certain tax bracket and above. Republicans go with the first solution, which is we don't agree on any new taxes on anybody ever. And so you saw the tax cuts of George W. Bush. You saw the tax cuts of Donald Trump. Those are expiring next year. So there will be a big debate this election season in regards to spending, especially as we see record deficits right now over the course of the last four presidents, Bush, Obama, Trump, and Biden. The national debt has gone up about $25 to $30 trillion over those four presidents. They each are responsible for about $6 to $7 trillion in debt. So I think it's coming to a head here. So all that is an important background as you see those budget headlines. The budget ain't going to pass, but they're going to have a discussion over what to be spending money on and taxes.
All right, this story from NBC News, some really interesting new survey data on family smartphone use and views. Nearly 3 out of 4 teens surveyed recently by the Pew Research Center say that they feel happy or peaceful when they do not have their smartphones. But at the same time, nearly half say they also feel anxious without them. The teens were asked a series of questions about how being without smartphones made them feel, resulting in some slightly contradictory answers. So again, while about 75% feel happy, 40% of teens say they also often or sometimes feel upset, and another 39% say they feel lonely without a smartphone. The prevalence of these feelings also varied by gender. 45% of teen girls reported feeling lonely without their phones, compared to just 34% of teen boys. The research published yesterday found that teens also have a bone to pick with their parents' screen time habits. Only 31% of parents diagnosed themselves as being sometimes or often distracted by their phones while having conversations with their teen, whereas 46% of teens reported this behavior occurring.
Mm-hmm. Mom and dad, they're watching you.
I get it. And I'm sadly so guilty of this myself. It's a problem.
Yeah, it leads to the issue of don't do as I do, do as I say, right? And that constant debate. And that's something the researchers at Pew are trying to get to in this study, where they conclude that screen time is not just a teen issue, it's a family issue. They want to highlight the way that teens and parents are each navigating these issues, how they're observing each other. And that was part of the design here of this Pew study. In serving the parents as well, Pew found that half of all parents have looked through their teens' phones at least once, but not always with their child's knowledge. Only 43% of teens believe their parents have actually done this. So more parents are doing this than teens believe their parents are doing this. So that's an interesting observation of this study as well. And one more thing here, it does appear that the two sides agree on how much they argue over smartphone use. Both 40% of parents and 40% of teens say that smartphone use leads to arguments at least sometimes. So effectively, 2 out of 5 homes there.
From ABC News, as we approach about 30 days to go before the April 15th deadline to file your taxes, some good news for you. The average tax refund issued by the IRS so far is $3,182. That is up from last year. As of March 1st, the latest data available, the IRS reported that the average refund was up 5.1% from about $3,000 during a similar time frame through March of last year. So about $200 more this year. The IRS received more than 54 million tax returns during the first 5 weeks of this tax season, which began on January 29th. The flip side, though, is that the number of tax refunds issued so far are down from a year ago. So while the average is up, the total number is down. The IRS issued 36.28 million tax refunds through March 1st, down 13.7% from a year ago. The total amount refunded through March 1st was nearly $115.5 billion.
So if you're getting a refund, it's up, but you're in a smaller group of people this year, at least so far. We'll wait on the full numbers as people continue to file here. We haven't heard about too many headaches this year. Remember, in previous tax seasons, major issues at the IRS. It appears so far, knock on, well, I don't have wood here, but I'm knocking
knock on your head.
Record this podcast, knock on my head. It appears all systems are running well. Famous last words, IRS. This tax season, they are expecting 146 million individual tax returns. So they have received, if we run the numbers right now, just over a third of the tax returns they expected so far. Last season, the IRS reported about 300,000 complaints related to ID theft. And that's a huge issue that they're worried about this year, that ID theft continues to grow over time. There are scammers out there that we want you to be aware of. We mentioned this in the newsletter yesterday. If you get the Mo newsletter over at mo.news/newsletter, that there's been a whole bunch of data breaches, right? And so in many cases, that allows scammers to get your social security number and key information and file tax returns on your behalf. In many cases, you don't realize it until you go to file your own taxes and see that your social security number has already filed their tax return. Huge issue. So a few ways to combat this for those who are concerned. File your taxes as early as possible. That'll stop someone else from taking your return. The IRS also recommends signing up for what they call the IRS IP PIN program. That allows you to create a unique 6-digit PIN to be used when filing your tax return. That's an extra layer of security, sort of like two-level authentication, Jill. So make sure, again, to get yourself an IRS PIN for your filing of taxes. And one thing to keep in mind, the IRS never emails you. If you have an email from somebody claiming to be part of the IRS or someone claiming they're the IRS, they are not the IRS. The IRS typically only communicates through snail mail, sometimes very rarely by phone. They will never ask for your credit card. They will never ask for your debit card. So just a couple ways there to protect yourself this season from ID theft.
From CNBC, The Body Shop is shutting the doors on all of its United States locations after filing for bankruptcy, the company announced this week. The skincare and cosmetics chain said it also plans to close dozens of locations in Canada as a result of the bankruptcy case proceeding. The UK-based company announcing its US subsidiary is just no longer operational. Earlier this year, the nearly 50-year-old cosmetics company known for selling ethical hair and skin products announced that it was near bankrupt in the UK after poor Christmas sales.
Jill, were you a Body Shop customer at one point?
Well, Mosh, speaking of 1997, it feels like that is when we were in peak Body Shop mode.
The Congress was passing budgets and you were going to the Body Shop to get some cosmetics ahead of prom.
I can't remember what it was, but there was a perfume or a cologne, some scent that was like the thing when I was growing up. I just can't remember what it was.
So the Body Shop was founded back in 1976. They took an environmentally friendly ethos to distinguish itself from the cosmetics retail world, touting its cruelty-free approach to testing. And it did really well for them. The founders of the Body Shop eventually sold to L'Oreal. At one point, that brand, the Body Shop, was then sold to a Brazilian cosmetic company in 2017. It was then sold again to a private equity firm a couple of years ago that was trying to turn around troubled companies. It didn't quite work out for them. Jill, I was talking about it with my wife, Alex, and it felt like, you know, Sephora and some of these other cosmetic stores have really eaten their lunch.
That's a really great point. It's like Sephora has done to the Body Shop what Amazon and Walmart and these big box stores have done to mom and pop stores.
If only a Body Shop could have made it for this alpha generation, Jill. I know that your daughter and her friends really would have kept them in business. They could have just made it across the finish line.
I mean, skincare is all the rage.
Maybe there's an opportunity here. You often see these brands get bought again and again out of bankruptcy. So maybe you'll see a Body Shop at some point.
And finally, from the Associated Press, Kate, the Princess of Wales, apologized Monday for, quote, confusion caused by her altering of a family photo released by the palace. The image of Kate and her children that was intended to calm the concern and speculation about the British royals' health actually had the opposite effect. Several news agencies that initially published the photo, including the Associated Press, withdrew the image over multiple concerns about digital manipulation. There are little edits all over the photo. It was issued by the couple's Kensington Palace office on Sunday to mark Mother's Day in Britain. It was the first official photo of Kate since she had abdominal surgery nearly 2 months ago. The retractions sent the online rumor mill, already rampant with speculation over Kate's operations and recuperation, into overdrive, since the palace still has not said what the surgery was for and why she needed months to recover. In a post on social media, Kate said that, quote, like many amateur photographers, I do occasionally experiment with editing. I wanted to express my apologies for any confusion the family photograph we shared yesterday caused.
So Jill, sort of there, a non-apology apology. I'm so sorry you were so confused by my edits. Everybody,
I'm sorry if you were offended.
I want to express my apologies for any confusion my photograph may have caused here. Jill, PR disaster for these folks. You know, like, you know, they could have just sat this out, though they are realizing the social media era that the royal family can't just sit out anything anymore. They used to have a mantra, never complain, never explain. Tough these days. So they actually tried to go out there 2 months after the surgery, which they have never really explained what the surgery was about, with this photo, only to then lead to more issues. So some people are like, I don't believe any of the rumors that there's some major medical issue or some other theories they might have. But now that they screwed this up, another mistake, I don't know. Maybe I should believe that there's an issue here with these two. And it wasn't just the AP, Getty, Reuters, the UK national agency, all of them pulled the photo because of all the little manipulations on the photo. The royal family always under scrutiny, but under particular scrutiny right now because of the multiple health issues that King Charles has cancer. And of course, then you had Kate's surgery, where they were much less open about what it was about back in January, months of recovery here. She's canceled engagements. He's canceled engagements. And so there was also his relative openness about the diagnosis, whereas hers has remained a mystery here. So Jill, as the world turns, we'll wait for more here from the royal family and see how they try to clean this one up. Again, so many more serious issues in the world, but still, this is sort of fun and intriguing here as we watch this unfold.
It was also like, what are they photoshopping? It was Charlotte's hand, the sweater wasn't matching, the zipper.
Like a strand like, of hair.
Who are these people? What is happening here?
Well, Jill, depending on how deep you go online on this, you know, some were arguing that she was taking smiling photos of them, smiling faces of them from other photos to make it look like, you know, how hard it is to get one kid to smile in a photo or two kids to smile in a photo to ensure that all four of them were smiling in this Mother's Day photo. So there might have been more significant manipulation, but there's so many of these amateur and even professional experts now going through the photo being like, ooh, I found another edit. I found another edit. I found another edit. Sort of like that game that existed in bars, I feel like, back in the day where you had to pick what was wrong in each photo. They did two photos next to each other and you had to pick what was altered in the second photo.
Yes. No.
I feel like there's a thing in the early 2000s.
I'm picking up what you're putting down. The other analysis that I heard was a bunch of people who were like, they're letting Kate take the fall for this. Yeah. I mean, this picture was blatantly put out by the palace. And meanwhile, Kate is kind of being the fall person for it. And I'm thinking, I mean, look, I have a photo group share with a bunch of my family and friends. And I do sometimes edit the photos, but like filters maybe. And then the other thing was her explanation. I understand, you know, editing a photo because I do it all the time, but for very minor things, like I'll crop things here and there. Maybe you put a filter on it. I don't ever recall really playing or I don't even know how to play around with Photoshop.
Jill, how many of your photos are printed in every newspaper around the world? When you're the Princess of Wales,
you make a very good point. None. Zero. Zip.
I think it's hard for us to understand the amount of scrutiny they feel about everything and that like each of their children are heirs to the throne and yada, yada, yada. So I'm here to play both sides of this argument. I will like dumb move, but also I understand the scrutiny you guys are under. Why would you make things worse? We'll see.
So it feels like she's just still not ready for prime time, which, by the way, is totally okay and understandable given whatever medical situation she's going through.
It feels like she's being pressured into this, and that's what led to this latest, you know, mess up. All right, let's end here with On This Day in History. Jill, we begin in the year 1804. Samuel Chase, the only U.S. Supreme Court justice ever to be impeached, was impeached on this day in 1804. At the time, our third president, Thomas Jefferson, was actually trying to clear the courts of people who were appointed by the Federalists, the party of George Washington, John Adams, his political rivals at the time. So they were going through the courts trying to knock out all of the previous judges. So Chase's impeachment here, again, the only Supreme Court justice ever impeached, was seen as politically motivated. Now, his opponents failed to get a two-thirds majority of the Senate to convict him. So while he was impeached, he was not convicted. We know what happens there. He got to keep his position. So it was seen as a victory for judicial independence. It also established the precedent that a judge could not be removed as a result of their political views, though it also reinforced the judges that they should remain more nonpartisan. They shouldn't be openly articulating their political philosophy. Let's fast forward here to the 20th century. On this day, 67 years ago, 1957, The Cat in the Hat by Theodore Dr. Seuss Geisel was first published. Fun origin story here. Geisel was working as a children's book author and illustrator in the 50s. But at the time, the view was that kids were having a difficult time learning new reading skills because the stories were so boring. Many books written about two characters, Dick and Jane. And so Geisel was among those who said, we need to make things more interesting for kids. At the time, was told there's about 230 words that kids of elementary school age should know. He used nearly all of them, including cat and hat, in his first book there.
My daughter's school, as I'm sure many schools around the country, are in the midst of Dr. Seuss Week and Dr. Seuss Month, where each day they're reading a new Dr. Seuss book. And they really are so good and so helpful in teaching kids how to read. They have those short rhyming words. They've got great illustrations. So really groundbreaking and very interesting that that's how he came up with the idea to do it.
Yeah, he's like, books are boring. And it's interesting because, you know, how many things from the 1950s do kids of this generation, the newest generation of kids, still find interesting and compelling these days? All right, a couple items here from the 21st century. On this day in 2003, many of you might remember this search. Elizabeth Smart, the 15-year-old girl who vanished from her bedroom 9 months earlier, was found alive in a suburb of Salt Lake City on this day in 2003. The two people convicted of her capture were sentenced to prison. One is still in prison, serving a life sentence. The other was released from prison in 2018. And on this day in 2009, the American hedge fund investment manager Bernie Madoff pled guilty to a number of crimes as part of his Ponzi scheme, one of the largest in global history. He was sentenced to 150 years in prison. He would die in prison just about 12 years later in 2021 from kidney disease. All right, and we end here with a bit of music and pop culture history. 37 years ago, on this day in 1987, the musical Les Mis opened on Broadway. Jill, it's had a number of runs on Broadway. I don't believe it's on Broadway right now, but you told me before the podcast, you haven't seen the show yet.
Yes, Mosh. Thank you for telling everyone that. I appreciate it.
Oh, now we're self-conscious about pop culture moments we miss.
Haven't seen
After
The Godfather.
All the movies
no, I'm kidding.
That you've admitted.
I have seen The Godfather. You're
I'm okay with people not knowing I saw The Godfather, but Mosh, how could you air my dirty laundry about Les Mis?
No, I have seen The Godfather. I have not seen Les Mis. Confirmed.
All right. We'll get you there one day.
Or cats, for that matter.
And finally, this will date all of us. 30 years ago today, many of you will know this song from just a few seconds of the beat at the top. Yes, that's The Sign from Ace of Base. It reached number one on this day, March 12th, 1994.
All right, Mosh, let's leave it on that high note. A big thank you to everyone for listening to the Mo News podcast. If you like what you hear, please share this with your friends. For real, it will very much help us grow. Follow us and subscribe so you don't miss an episode, and review us in the App Store.
Jill, I feel like you missed a natural segue there. you saw the sign and it's time to end this podcast.
I could. Yes, I could have jumped on that. my bad.
You're like Moshe. I was giving the listeners a break, but you decided to go for the easy, the low hanging fruit. I see. Everyone, thanks for listening again to us today. And we'll be back tomorrow with another edition of the Mo News Podcast.
With another edition of What Pop Culture Hit Has Jill Not Seen?
Thanks for listening to the Mo News Podcast.